From Uniontown to Harrisburg, Selins Grove to Erie, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, a recent poll conducted by the Commonwealth Foundation finds energy costs to be among the top economic concerns of Pennsylvanians who are unwilling to pay costs to combat climate change. David Taylor and Stephen Bloom are here with a Capital Watch look at the poll results. And Pennsylvania House Speaker Joanna McClinton is proposing changes which would once again damage the integrity of the state's election process. I'll have a town hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capital Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. Tis the time of year when various third-party or independent candidates start lining up for public offices. The challenge to the Republican-Democrat two-party system always turns out to be more of a messaging or attention-getting device than a serious candidacy. Now the self-styled Forward Party is attempting to get candidates on the ballot to run for state attorney general and state treasurer. Eric Settle, a former Republican from Montgomery County, is running for attorney general, while Chris Foster, a former Democrat from Allegheny County, is seeking the office of state treasurer. Republicans and Democrats will determine their nominees for those offices in the upcoming April 23rd primary election. An interesting primary for a seat in the state House of Representatives is shaping up in northeastern Philadelphia. Incumbent State Representative Kevin Boyle, who is the brother of Congressman Brendan Boyle, is seeking re-election, but a recent kerfuffle at a local bar has dinged his prospects, and he now faces opposition from Sean Daugherty, who is the son of State Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty and the nephew of convicted former union boss John Johnny Doc Daugherty. The Democratic infighting has the GOP eyeing the seat as a potential pickup opportunity in November. Spotlight PA is raising questions about who is paying for renovations to the governor's mansion. The stately home, with a Susquehanna River view, is located in Harrisburg and is the official residence of the governor. Interior renovations are underway, but the administration of Governor Josh Shapiro is not disclosing who is paying for the work, how much is being done, or even who is managing the project. The lack of transparency raises the question as to whether the funding is coming from donors who have financial interests in state policy. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Pennsylvania voters see energy costs with affordability and reliability as top concerns. Those were the findings of a recent poll conducted by the Commonwealth Foundation. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association and Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation are here to sort through the results. David?
And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, great to be with you.
David, it's fantastic to be here.
Well, we miss Rebecca Euler, who's not going to be here. She's on assignment, but I'm sure that she's doing good stuff for the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. In the meantime, Steve, you and I can kick things around. And interesting sort of news product that your group, Pennsylvania's foremost free market think tank, has done some public polling and want to go through these results here and find out what people are thinking.
Sure. We were specifically addressing issues surrounding energy, energy in Pennsylvania, but various different aspects of energy. And you hear so much hype about, you know, all this push for green energy and all these requirements and mandates, and you would think from that sometimes that everyone is for that, and, mm-hmm. and that, you know, a future of just mass intense regulation of our energy industry is inevitable because everyone wants that to happen. When you dig into the numbers and do legitimate scientific polling on the issues, it turns out that Pennsylvanians are concerned with the cost of energy and want lawmakers to focus on affordability rather than radical climate policies. They want the government to cut unnecessary regulations
mm-hmm.
that are holding back Pennsylvania's energy potential. So the numbers tell a very different story than the propaganda.
And again, this is a reality check. And you know, this survey, and I got to say, CF's numbers have been really good over time. And because this is not the first poll, I mean, CF's been doing this for some years.
We are absolutely very serious about how we conduct polling. When we do that, we are always working with extremely responsible policies. We don't want to fool ourselves or anyone else. We want the polls to be accurate.
Sure.
And if the numbers are bad, we'll say so. If they're not what we hoped, that's fine. We'll be honest with the results always. And that credible scientific process is what we're about. Rising energy costs. 63% of Pennsylvanians listed that as their top most prominent environmental issue in Pennsylvania. So we're Pennsylvanians actually care about rising energy costs more than all the other issues that are out there that, again, are many of them are important issues, but this is so important that it's the top one.
And it's, I mean, in part, I'm sure it's the fact that people see those costs directly, whether it's their monthly utility bills or whether it's what they pay at the pump or for other, fuel intakes, you know, propane tanks, that kind of stuff, to see those prices going up when many Pennsylvanians are, you know, they're just trying to make ends meet. They're just trying to get by. Many Pennsylvanians living actually paycheck to paycheck, that higher energy prices affect them directly. They see it. And of course, it has a compounding effect through the economy because everything requires energy to do it. And so all of those things become more expensive as a result.
And there's some really eye-popping numbers here in the survey results, in the polling results. The results showed a significant majority of Pennsylvania voters, 80% of Pennsylvania voters say that their household energy bills have increased over the past 2 years. 80%.
4 out of 5.
You don't see that kind of a number in polling very often.
Mm-mm.
And that's across the board. This is, you know, Republicans, Democrats, Independents. Again, a scientific survey, and 80% of people are saying that their energy bills have increased over the last 2 years. And most Pennsylvanians, 67%, are saying that ensuring affordable energy is a higher priority than combating climate change. It's a 67-63 breakdown.
33, so it's 2 to 1.
To 33, yeah. 67-33%, 2 to 1. And again, you wouldn't know that if you followed popular culture or even the news media in general. You would think that everyone
only tell one side of the story.
Yeah, you would think everyone was demanding that all these radical steps, that many of which are very questionable in terms of actual impact, be taken to rein in the energy industry, when in fact it's 2 to 1.
Right.
People care. They want Pennsylvania to be a place where energy is abundant and clean and accessible.
This is an issue that has been in the headlines, of course, in addition to, as the survey shows, just people being really concerned about rising prices.
And think about that in comparison to the results of the survey that ask about the question of, you know, do Pennsylvania voters have an appetite for paying out of their own pockets to address climate change?
Mm-hmm.
And again, here we see the same sort of a breakdown. 2/3, 67% of Pennsylvanians are unwilling to pay anything out of their own pocket to combat climate change. Now, imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking 2/3, not a dime,
mm-hmm.
not a dime out mm-hmm. of my paycheck
mm-hmm.
shall be used to combat climate change mm-hmm. in whatever fashion the government thinks might actually
mm-hmm.
do that.
Yes.
When in fact we know that the real way to clean up the issues around carbon and so forth is to switch from oil and coal to natural gas.
Correct.
We've seen it happen over the last decade in Pennsylvania. We've unlocked more natural gas and more new energy resources,
right.
and at the same time, significant drops in carbon emissions.
That's correct. Even as the economy has continued to grow, even as more industrial activity has occurred, that Pennsylvania's emissions have actually gone down.
When I used to teach part-time at Messiah University, a course on economics, and it was sort of an introductory survey course, but I did a section on environmental economics,
mm-hmm.
and I asked the students, how much pollution do you like? And of course, all the students said none, mm-hmm. none. Mm-hmm. And I asked how many had a car, and you know, some raised their hand and said they had a car. Mm-hmm. And I asked, do you drive your car? Mm-hmm. And many of those same people who had cars, believe it or not, said that they drive their cars. So you like a little bit of pollution because your car, you know, it's not, assuming it's not an electric car, which it wasn't at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different issue. But, you know, any internal combustion engine produces some pollution
right.
as it runs.
Right.
And every one of those students who had a car was perfectly willing to pollute a little bit.
Right. And again, understanding that great progress has been made and continues to be made to reduce emissions from our vehicles, to make the fuel cleaner, you know, all of those things over time. In fact, if Rebecca were here, she would rattle off that statistic about trucks in the past versus trucks today, the truck today emits only 1/60th of a truck from 1988. That a truck in 1988 would be 60 times more emissions than one truck today. I mean, like, those are amazing reductions. And that part of the fallacy of, you know, the modern environmental movement really is like chasing the last molecule, like chasing these things down to background levels where, you know, it's so much easier to get from 90% clean to 95% clean than it is to get from, you know, 95 to 96% clean.
Right, and there's that crossover point where your investments no longer make sense.
Correct.
And so you hit that rate where the marginal benefit of doing the thing is so
yeah.
so minimal at that point
right.
that it is simply not worth doing. And anyone would think we ought to go do something else with these resources rather than continue to
yes.
squeeze out that next percentage point of either whether it's air pollution reduction or reduction of the amount of discharge from a sewage treatment plant or whatever, because at that level, it doesn't have any impact.
It's undetectable.
It's undetectable.
Yes.
It's not hurting anything or anyone.
And it also, it amuses me in a, you know, morbid kind of way that, you know, we're talking about the Paris Accords for clean air when in fact, every city in America, including New York and Los Angeles, have cleaner air than Paris, France. So there you have it. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me, Steve Bloom from the Commonwealth Foundation. And we're going over the numbers here of Commonwealth Foundation's most recent public opinion survey.
So you mentioned France. So let's talk a little bit about what Pennsylvanians think about international affairs.
Mm-hmm.
94%. Earlier in the show, I talked about something being at 80%. 94%
mm-hmm.
of Pennsylvanians think it's important for the U.S. to achieve energy independence rather than rely on foreign countries. So almost 100. I mean, you don't – again, in scientific polling, you seldom get a 94%.
Yeah, that's as close to unanimous as we're ever going to see.
People are not stupid. They get the fact that it's important for us in the United States of America to have energy independence, and we have the opportunity to do that, to execute that. They don't want to let people like – Putin in Russia or some other international dictator and or government leader who would use these as weapons essentially of economic
Correct.
War against us
Correct.
Have that kind of power. When we have the independence, we have the ability to be independent here in Pennsylvania,
yes.
independent here in Pennsylvania and here in the United States.
Well, and of course, this then goes to the subject that's not discussed you know, with the kind of clarity that it deserves, which is that the dictatorship in Beijing, the communist gangsters that run China, that they have pursued control of the supply chains for wind and solar as a national priority, and also for electric vehicles and EV batteries and all that stuff, because they view that as an instrument of national power. Of all the things that divide us between liberals and conservatives and Democrats and Republicans and labor and management, like, I would hope that we could agree on this much, that no American worker should ever have to compete with slave labor, and that American consumers should never be exposed to slave-made goods in the U.S. marketplace. Like, can we at least just agree on that much? And if we can, then you have to go and recognize that China dominates the production of silicon, which goes into solar panels, and that they produce 20 times more than we do in the U.S., and that all of that silicon production runs through occupied East Turkestan, which the Beijing calls Xinjiang, which is where the Uyghur people are in concentration camps by the millions. And so every part of that supply chain for solar panels is contaminated by communist slave labor. Like, these are – I think that's morally repugnant, and that in addition, that we shouldn't do anything to reward Beijing for its practices, and that we shouldn't give them, as you said, more leverage over us.
And let's think about just going back to some of the survey questions we asked. What about building more natural gas pipelines to transport natural gas to homes and businesses to ease the strain on our electric grid and to reduce our state's energy costs? 70% of Pennsylvanians are for that. So people care about expanding our energy resources.
Right.
Part of it is that geopolitical concern that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Part of it is just practical fiscal reality. They're already strapped. They're already pushed to the limit. They can't afford to pay more, and they want to see our energy industry blossoming and getting larger and stronger, employing more people, and producing more natural gas and other natural gas liquids and other beneficial products that can be created from this Pennsylvania natural gas resource we have here that is absolutely abundant and clean and available and could change the world
yep.
over the next 100 years and prevent all the stuff you were talking about with exploitation of workers in China and other foreign countries. Could do it in a clean, safe, environmentally sound way here in America,
yeah.
here in Pennsylvania.
And you think also about the carbon footprint of the transportation costs of, you know, that we have, like a great example is in Boston, that they import liquefied natural gas for service in the greater Boston area, when of course that's just a few hundred miles from northeastern Pennsylvania, where we have the superabundance of pure methane, pure natural gas, that they'd rather import it, you know, 2,000 miles from Trinidad. Like, what?
Because New York State is blocking it.
Well, I mean, and that's part of it, but also the, you know, I wish. Again, I wish that we could have a conversation about these issues that's practical, that's fact-based, because I really think that it makes more sense to rely on American energy and to disentangle ourselves from these foreign sources, and that there's an efficiency to it all that anyway makes more sense.
And again, along those same lines, 68% of Pennsylvanians oppose Pennsylvania following the actions of other states like California that banned the sale of new gasoline-powered cars by 2035. You and I were talking a little bit in the green room about the proposed ban on gasoline engines for domestic use at home, lawnmowers and chainsaws
right.
and
yep.
weed whackers and so forth.
Like, right.
This is not popular. 68% of Pennsylvanians oppose that kind of nonsense. Yet you still see the proposals bubbling up in the legislature. You still see many politicians acting as if it's something the people want. 68% of the people don't want any of that. 68%.
They can see what would happen.
They feel the same way about other, I would say, almost goofy type bans that are very real. They would be comical
yes.
if it weren't for the fact that they're real.
Yes.
But 62% of Pennsylvanians... 62% of Pennsylvanians oppose limits on dairy and meat consumption to reduce the impact of climate change.
Well, and again, this is such foolishness that all of human civilization through history has depended on the kind of agriculture that involves livestock and milk and butter and meat, and it's just. I don't know. Words really fail. It's like you're pushing back against the very nature of humanity. Of course, it was a funny line. The fella said that I'll stop eating animals once they stop eating one another.
Excellent. Excellent.
So what else do we have?
And gosh, I mean, just a couple other items from the survey. We've got Pennsylvanians want candidates who are focused on lower costs. So 59% of Pennsylvanians want candidates committed to lowering energy costs and using natural resources, compared to 41% who prioritize environmental protection. Voters are concerned about grid reliability. 60% mm-hmm. are concerned about the reliability of Pennsylvania's electricity grid and the possibility of blackouts. And energy affordability is huge. 81% saying that it's an important factor in deciding which candidates to support. 34% of that 81% saying it's very important. So those practical considerations, keeping the grid running.
Yep.
We've narrowly averted severe blackout conditions in Pennsylvania for the last several years, partly because we've had very mild winters.
Yep.
But we're vulnerable. And as the government continues to basically try to drive out of our state anything that's not considered to be part of a clean energy portfolio, it's made our grid more and more
right.
tenuous.
There's supposed to be a buffer in the grid. We need to have more energy available than we actually need at any given time. And because we've had political interference in the energy marketplace, that buffer has gotten less and less and less, to the point now where we're almost, it's like we're playing chicken as to whether or not the lights are going to stay on, which is crazy dangerous. Well, wow, Steve, as ever, this is great stuff. And I expect that all this is available online where?
CommonwealthFoundation.org. And just so that any survey wonks are listening and want to know that the facts, our poll was surveying 800 registered Pennsylvania voters from February 28th through March 6th, 2024.
Outstanding. And you guys do great work. So go there to CommonwealthFoundation.org to check that out. As ever, you can find me online at PAManufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. From Steve and me, thanks very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. Recent polling suggests the upcoming general election rematch between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump will be a closely fought contest, especially here in the battleground state of Pennsylvania. The Real Clear Politics average of publicly released polls gives Donald Trump a scant one-half of 1% lead in the battle for the state's electoral votes. The closeness of the race places a bright spotlight on the Commonwealth's electoral process. Questions continue to linger over the integrity of the 2020 election. There may or may not have been outright fraud, but there is no doubt rulings by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and rule changes by the Department of State at a minimum were a factor, if not the deciding factor, in Joe Biden's win. Exacerbating voter skepticism over the integrity of the 2020 vote were the many rule changes enacted supposedly in reaction to the COVID-19 pandemic, chief among them the advent of no-excuse mail-in voting. In perhaps the biggest political miscalculation in the history of Penn's Woods, Republicans agreed to allow mail-in balloting in exchange for eliminating the straight party line vote. There appears to be scant evidence that elimination of the straight party line vote has been politically beneficial to the GOP, but there is ample evidence that the party has suffered widespread defeats due to mail-in balloting. Many in the Republican Party have, with some degree of justification, questioned the integrity of mail-in balloting. That depressed the use of mail-in ballots by Republicans, while Democrats embraced the method to build often insurmountable leads in local and statewide races. Conservative groups are now organizing to compete more effectively for mail-in votes, but the continued use of such balloting perpetrates a lack of voter trust in the integrity of the election process. And so, with confidence lacking in changes made 4 years ago, along comes Pennsylvania House Speaker Joanna McClinton with proposals to sow even more seeds of distrust. She recently proposed allowing same-day voter registration at polling places. Unregistered voters could simply show up on Election Day, register in the party of their choice, and be allowed to cast a vote. No upfront verification of their eligibility, no check to see if they're already registered elsewhere. Just show up, register, and vote. The opportunity for fraud such a change would unleash is breathtaking. A more realistic McClinton proposal would be to establish a 2-week period of time in advance of Election Day when voters could go to a secure polling place, such as the County Voter Registration Office, and cast an early ballot. Eliminating unsecure mail-in voting and replacing it with early voting at secure polling locations would be a reasonable trade-off. Well, of course, that would require logic and compromise. Given the hyper-partisan bent of the House Democrat majority, that is unlikely to happen. There is one change which could be made that would make our elections significantly more secure and go a long way toward allaying voter qualms about the process. That would be passage of a state constitutional amendment requiring photo voter ID. Such a proposed state constitutional amendment was approved during the last session of the state legislature. But to be placed on the ballot for a voter referendum, proposed constitutional amendments must pass two consecutive sessions of the General Assembly. In the current session, the state Senate did pass the amendment, but it has languished in a state House committee. House Republican leaders this past week began a procedural process aimed at getting the photo voter ID bill out of committee and brought to the House floor for a vote. Almost all Republicans and some Democrats support the bill. Polls show photo voter ID has broad bipartisan voter support. Democrat leadership, however, continues to peddle the false narrative that a photo voter ID requirement would somehow make it more difficult for people to vote. Given the fact that you need a photo ID to buy cough syrup at your local drugstore, it would only make it more difficult for those whose intent it is to commit voter fraud. In the wake of the 2020 election, the state of Georgia passed significant reforms aimed at restoring the integrity of their electoral system, including a photo voter ID requirement. The result was the voter participation rate actually increased as more people had confidence that their vote mattered. Photo voter ID is critical to restoring public confidence in Pennsylvania's electoral system. It is time for we the people to be given the opportunity to make the decision via referendum at the ballot box. To deny us that opportunity is to put democracy at risk. With a town hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. The 2024 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, now just days away, April 4th through 6th at the Penn Harris Hotel and Convention Center near Harrisburg. Special guest speaker Vivek Ramaswamy and featured dinner speaker Dinesh D'Souza lead a long lineup of speakers, including John Gizzi of Newsmax, Tea Party Patriots co-founder Jenny Beth Martin, political commentator Mary Catherine Hamm, along with influential policy leaders, including Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts and Adam Brandon, president of FreedomWorks. The three-day event will also include an expanded schedule of workshops. The Pennsylvania Leadership Conference is the nation's largest and longest running of the state-based conservative activist conferences in the nation. It's all happening this coming Thursday through Saturday, April 4th through 6th, at the Penn Harris Convention Center near Harrisburg. Get complete details and register for this year's Pennsylvania Leadership Conference at paleadershipconference.org. That's paleadershipconference.org. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.